The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
My name is Munir Ahmed. I'm a faculty here at WCL/Measure to be the first person to be able to welcome all of you here. And I just very briefly want to introduce two people who are charged with the office. The first is Dean Patrick Grossman, our dean here at WCL. And let me just say briefly that for a conference that is on race and rights in the 21st century, it turns out it really doesn't make a difference when the dean of your law school is Latino and human rights advocate and activist, scholar and practitioner. And so we're very lucky to have my safest fascist, his vision and his presence has informed every aspect of this institution and shapes the work that all of us do here. And it's because of him that I think there's so much support, not just for this conference, but for so many programs like this. Dean Grossman will provide us with a brief welcome, and after Dean Grossman, Program Chair Michelle Dickerson will offer a welcome as well.
Recently, and I was not very happy about it, in Atlanta, introduced me and said, he's a very remarkable person. Every time he speaks English, my Spanish improves. in this law school, we are blessed by my colleagues like Munir, that represents the important value of human dignity and the key thing is that for our students, they reveal the beauty and commitment and the possibility that we can bring to life with our profession. The only problem is some people believe that this is let me say also that we are proud and honored to have all of you here, and I want to extend a warm welcome to all of you on behalf of our school. And we are proud to see that all of you will share views and present ideas concerning this year's thing, race and rights in the 21st century, next generation issues. The panels and work in progress sessions will provide guidance on teaching and other aspects of legal education while encouraging diverse thinking about legal education and facilitating open and free legal analysis in a supportive environment. So the next meeting also, I would like to present an idea. I've worked for a number of years as a member of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, which is a supervisory organ created by the Organization of American States. There are 35 countries in this hemisphere for 800 million human beings covered by the system. The Organization of American States is now negotiating a new convention on discrimination. In an integrated world, the role of international law could be very useful. It would be interesting to have panels in the future that study that process and see how this negotiation and the convention that could be adopted finally could be used for the purposes of promoting the struggle against discrimination. There are new voices being heard here. For example, for many years in Latin America, people say, oh, there is no racial discrimination. For example, in Brazil, it's just a coincidence that most of the poor are black, because they are poor. Or the citizens of Asia, not only in Peru, or Araucano Indians, or citizens of Russia. And I think that it would be very interesting to study the situation and to participate in shaping these new conventions and cities. So that's the idea for the future. The professor, my colleague, Munir, has been very active in the economic system also, so he can provide I would like to thank also the executive committee of the conference, the program chair, Mr. Dickerson, the conference chair, the conference, our own school study committee, and our own professors, Samantha Bridgewater, who tirelessly didn't give us any other option to support this conference or else. But those persuasive and charming ways that essential to good things, and I want to thank Pamela very for doing everything that was needed to welcome you here. It's quite meaningful that this conference, which embraces some of the most important ideas that inspire our community, is occurring during the first week of our founder celebration. This book has an amazing story. We were created by women in 1896 when women did not were not admitted into the education, and our founding mothers, Elena Masi and Emma Ginet, had a vision with the need to educate women into the institutions, norms, and procedures of the legal profession to have women judges and lawyers to achieve gender equality. That's our official story about them. I would like to tell you a part of the unofficial story. I thought that there is something strange here. Women were not admitted into legal education. How can they study law before they're able to create a law? Well, so why did they do this? Why was it possible when there was one school that admitted to power? So you see the connection here between Jesus Christ and him. The key thing, however, is the formula. When they the education tower and the mission of gender equality, they did not admit African Americans into the Western Constitution. Somebody would say, well, they were children of their time, but they were specific children. They went to school. I thought that he said an excuse that was broken here. And we don't need to change history. We need to tell people and to see people with a positive and negative when they see that we should believe. So I want to say we created this founder's celebration whose purpose is to talk about as it is. People are important, people are not the past. As the important people in the world have been accepted, the reason why we fight about history is because they are part of the future, not about the history of Rome is going to be 5 years because of that problem. Now, in a committee chaired by the Pamela Bridgewater, we are going to encourage students to write about our history and history with capital A. And certainly, that will be helpful to shape in the future with that is so important because it goes to the present, and that is the future where we dream, we fight, and we struggle for the world, where people can develop themselves to the limit of their potential, where there are no differences among people from the basis of race, ethnicity, sexual preference, and national identity. We will continue to be partners, to fight with this different forces in the context. I would say also that precisely this framework, the important the work done by the conference takes on even greater significance because the conference supports people of color in the legal academia, promotes scholarship of the place and civility and community to raise the academic and sexual education issues in an effort to foster an atmosphere in the legal profession where people of color can encourage, nurture, and support. These commitments help foster in our community important values that then can be reinforced with the rule of law and media communication. And this is so exciting case also for our students. They see that in the work of the work like this, the possibility for themselves to see what they can do in the legal profession. And as there is in every important and non-important aspect of human endeavor, the legal component, the work that we do is fulfilling. And it's essential for the profession of the important law. For me, there is another point on this, and I want to share the story, and I will finish with this, that appeared in the newspaper El País, a very important Spanish that shows the multifaceted value of the rejection of discrimination and the important promotion of tolerance and pluralism from different perspectives. In the Spanish newspaper from the following story, in a German university, a student went to the cafeteria and brought her lunch and put the lunch on the table. And then went back to buy the water and left the lunch on the table. And when he came back, there was a man from Africa sitting in her chair, eating her food. So I thought, well, it's important to be tolerant, to be realistic, and perhaps people in Africa have different notions of private property, they share place. So they picked up a spoon and a knife and got over, and he was eating food. She started talking to me, and she took the food. And then there were meat and potatoes and salad. So she ate and she did a purpose to proceed. So she ate and the spirit of communion was present. So when they finished the research, spoon by spoon, knife by knife, and in a sharing of the food, she stood up to buy coffee. And she thought, I'm going to be very generous and walk to the cup of coffee. So when she walked back to the cup of coffee, she saw that the food was on the other table. And the person sharing and being tolerant with her was the man from Africa. So I'm sure you will see the hidden meaning and the beauty and value of this story. Thank you very much.
And the Executive Committee of Mid-Atlantic People of Color Conference, I welcome you to the conference on behalf of the Planning Committee for the Mid-Atlantic People of Color. We are absolutely delighted to be here, both in America and especially to participate in part of the Founders Day program that America is having. For those of you that and about half of you, if you recognize half of the faces from other conferences, but for those of you that haven't been at one of our conferences, my role is the role of the official sort of footprint. So I keep control of the time, I sort of deal with the logistics, so if something's going wrong, you're sort of wondering what's going on, let me know, and if I don't know the answer to it, I'll try to find out the answer for you. We've tried to build in enough flexibility in the program itself so that if something's wrong in a couple of minutes, like we can sort of make adjustments for Tinker as we need, which is one of the reasons that we were able to start a little bit later this morning than we typically do. Because for those of you who have been at our conference before, you know, on the first day, you know, people can't wake up on time. So, you know, how do I get this with the issues people have on the first day? But tomorrow, when we have our work in progress sessions, we are hopeful that people will find out that there is a thing called an alarm clock that would actually work in that many circumstances there at the time. A couple of other things that we sort of have as a tradition in the conference that we don't really do introductions for people. And so when I finish my comments and to introduce the panel, literally all I'll do is say the person's name and their school affiliation. We're fortunate that Pam and her planning committee, and I forgot to wave your hand, our program, Natasha, who actually prepared these phenomenal program brochure for us. We have bios of the faculty and the speakers that are listed at the end, so we really don't need to have long introductions. One other thing, sort of logistics for those of you that haven't seen sort of the restroom facilities, when you go outside, sort of go back toward the elevators and you'll see the restrooms back there. So that's my logistical stuff. And now I get to do the fun stuff, which is why Dean Wilson was tackled at the door as he was trying to leave. So if you could come back up to the front.
I'm going to be tackled in
the front. Well, this will be a fun tackle. I'd like to present you with something that is very, 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 very long and overdue. A few years ago, the Congress of Mid-Atlantic People of Color, we had a tradition of selecting sort of and we call it, you know, sort of our favorite theme, the theme of the year. So one of the things that we didn't do that year was actually to recognize the theme of the solar. So on behalf of Dorothy Brown, and I'd also like to acknowledge the two people who many of you know, who were running the conference at that time. That's Reggie Robinson, who was then Finance Chair, who's at Howard, and Peter Alexander, who is now with Reno Dean at Southern Illinois University, which is program chair. And I'd like to read the plaque to you, because I think it gives you a bit of a sense of both why we were enthusiastic, overwhelmed when you were selected as the dean. So the Mid-Atlantic People of Color Legal Scholarship Conference, both the conference planning committees in the year that Dean Grossman was selected, and also for this year, hereby selecting Claudia Grossman for the 2002 Charles Hamilton Houston Award for Outstanding Dean in the Mid-Atlantic Region. You were selected for your commitment to issues relating to people of color, affirmative action principles, diversity issues, and your efforts to bring about diversity in the legal community and to create an atmosphere where people of color feel encouraged, nurtured, and supported. So although we are late, hopefully you know that we are still as enthusiastic now about your commitment to diversity and the things that we are happy about and excited about and finding unique every year. We just happy to select you now.